There's a difference between a friendship with lost people that aims at the conversion of their soul, that aims at salvation, versus a friendship with lost people that would reflect fellowship. And the New Testament word fellowship has to do with what we have in common, what we share together. And the Bible makes clear that light and darkness have no fellowship.
From Walking in Grace, this is the Straight Truth Podcast, Christian truths in an increasingly secular world.
Welcome again to the Straight Truth Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Philpott, and as always, I'm joined by Pastor Richard Caldwell of Founders Baptist Church. Now, with the podcast this time, we're going to do things a little differently. Instead of me asking Pastor Richard the question, we actually have a small, live audience of mostly young people who have important topics they'd like to ask Pastor Richard. So we hope you'll enjoy this new format for Season 14 of Straight Truth. But if you have a question you'd like to ask Pastor Richard, as always, please leave a comment below this video or submit a question on our website, straighttruth.net. With that, let's get to the question for this episode.
My question has to do with Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. What is the best way to love your enemies while also surrounding yourself with a truthfully godly influence?
Thank you. Let me read that passage you mentioned, Matthew 5, 43 through 48. And again, your question is, how do I express the love of God and yet make sure that I surround myself with people who help me walk in the truth? Is that the nature of the question?
Right. But love your enemies.
But love your enemies.
Love your enemies.
Got it. Well, passage says this, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. A few things stand out to me as I read those verses, one of which is something is expected of us as believers that exceeds what you're going to see in those who don't know the Lord. He asked the question twice, if you only love in this way, what are you doing that's any different than the Gentiles? What are you doing that's any different than the tax collectors? What are you doing? What he's saying is, what are you doing that's any different than an unbeliever? If you only love the people who love you, if you're only loving people back who already love you. So there's a standard expected of us as believers that exceeds what you would find in unbelievers. That also tells me that God has, in saving us, he has given us the capacity to love in a way that exceeds what we knew before we knew him. With salvation comes a capacity for love that is supernatural in nature. It didn't belong to us by nature. It came to belong to us through new life, new birth, new nature. I would also say that whatever love it is that we're to express is a love that pictures our Father. He makes that point as well when he says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. So the love we're to demonstrate is to be in the likeness of our Father. And he goes on to give examples. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Today, life on this planet reveals the love of God because there are people today who are rebelling against God, cursing God. Their lifestyles offend God, and yet the sun is shining on them. Certain places on the planet, the rain is falling on them. God is providing for them in the temporal realm. So God is loving even his enemies today. And he says, now that's the model for you and for me. How do you do that and still be careful to live in a way that encourages your walk with Christ, that doesn't surround you with people who would discourage or influence you wrongly in your walk? And I think that the the key to that is understanding what it means to love our enemies. There's a difference between a friendship with lost people that aims at the conversion of their soul, that aims at salvation, versus a friendship with lost people that would reflect fellowship. Okay, the New Testament word fellowship has to do with what we have in common, what we share together. And the Bible makes clear that light and darkness have no fellowship. Christ and Satan have no fellowship. After being saved, I no longer have friendships with lost people that would say we share everything in common. Our worldview is the same. Our goals are the same. Our ambitions are the same. Our standards are the same. No, that changed forever when the Lord saved me. Now my ambition is to please God. That's not a lost man's ambition. Now the standard for my life is the Word of God. That's not a lost man's standard. So if I look at friendship based on those things, I find that my friendships belong with other believers. This is where I find friendship. This is where I find fellowship for my walk with God. It's with people who love the same God, know the same God, have the same Savior, have the same standard. These are the people I walk with. But that doesn't require me to hate my enemies. Far from that, the same kind of love that God has for the lost, He has now poured out in my heart. So that I look at young men, young women, older men, older women who don't know Jesus, and my heart toward them is one of compassion. My desire toward them is one of reconciliation. I am now called by God to be a minister of reconciliation. I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. I have the great privilege to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and declare it to a spiritually starving world. In fact, a world that is dead in its sins, alienated from God. I have the privilege to be God's messenger to them with the good news of God's Son. And God's at work through the declaration of that message, reconciling sinners to Himself, bringing them into the family of God, into the fellowship of God's people, so that someone that I can have a friendship with for the purpose of evangelism can one day be someone that I have a friendship with in a far more profound way, in a way that we're actually walking together because we have the same God, the same loves, the same ambitions, the same standard. So I would say surround yourself in terms of friendship with people who love Jesus, but that doesn't mean you cut off from yourself anyone who doesn't know Jesus. Rather, you now see them through the eyes of the gospel, and your desire for them is that they too would come to know God, that they would be reconciled to their Creator.
Maybe just one follow-up. Why does Jesus end that whole paragraph about loving your enemy by saying, you therefore must be perfect?
Yeah, what's
as your Heavenly Father is perfect. What relation is that to this?
You're aiming for the character that you find in your Father in heaven. Your Father is perfect. And so what you're aiming at is not something substandard, something that even the lost could live.
Mm-hmm.
What you're aiming at is what you find in Him. And so what we're called to be is living a life that's in His image.
Mm.
And that is a standard that goes beyond what we knew before we knew Jesus. But it's even a standard that goes beyond what we could ever live in our own strength.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'd never do is settle to live according to a standard that makes earthly sense, or that even accords with what I would naturally desire, or what my flesh would desire. But rather, I'm to look at my Father who's in heaven and realize, no, there's the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm aiming at. I'm called to be perfect, even as my Heavenly Father is perfect.
Okay, and then one final question. I was thinking of this passage in relation to another passage in Matthew where Jesus says, these great commandments, the first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you think neighbor, this enemy language here, is lumped up in that idea of
no doubt about
neighbor?
It, Josh, no doubt about it. Who is my neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my neighbor is anybody I meet with.
Okay.
And I'm called to love them as myself. And in those two commands, all of God's law is really wrapped up. Every command you could ever consider from the Word of God falls under loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving others as I love myself, which mm-hmm. is to say, I prefer them. I put them before even my own life. And I think you see a great example of this in our Savior hanging on the cross and praying for those who rejoice in Him being there. Mm-hmm. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That kind of love is the love that we can know toward the enemies of God, mm-hmm. because He has poured out His love in our hearts.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Straight Truth Podcast. Now, we'd love to have you share this episode with friends and family. And the easiest way to do that is by going to our website, straighttruth.net, and subscribing to one of our social media channels, like YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Now, Straight Truth is listener-supported. So if you'd like to find out ways to help us to continue to produce this podcast, again, go to our website, straighttruth.net. Now, Straight Truth is a production of Walking in Grace Ministries, the preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Caldwell. For more information, go to walkingingrace.org.